been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Soul, the Pastor Gene closing the show. A most gracious, gracious Good Friday to you, one and all. On behalf of myself, my husband, my family, and again, another shout out to my mother who is listening live on air. Good morning, and good Friday morning to everyone out there. I hope this day finds you well. I hope this day finds you blessed. I hope this day finds you hungry, not for food, but spiritual feeding, so that we can hear from the Word of God. I look forward to hearing the message from the Word of God today. And so if we come with expectant hearts, then I'm sure the Lord will show up. Amen. Praise God. But we will get ourselves moving today and get ourselves going. We thank everyone who's been listening to our Palm Sunday sermon, and certainly those who were tuned into the show that we did on Wednesday. But for grace and mercy go I. Amen. And so we have to be thankful. So let us get ourselves prayed up. Today's a day of worship. Definitely a day of worship, because we need to be deeply in touch and connected to the Lord, not only for what's going on in the world, but what's going on in each and every one of our lives. Because I can tell you, as much as we might feel that there's always joy, we know that there is still something else going on in this world. And so we need to be mindful. Amen. We need to be prepared. We need to be prayed up. And we need to continue to maintain discernment. And for that, we thank God for that ability. But we're going to get ourselves ready for some worship, some praise, to glorify His holy name, because He is truly worthy this day. He is truly worthy tomorrow. He is truly worthy every day, every hour, and every moment. And as He is worthy, we are grateful that He said He would never leave us nor forsake us, and continue to be there for us, to support us, to encourage us. And even when He did leave, He didn't stay away, because He said He would send a spirit so that we could be strengthened and encouraged, and we would be able to do what He does and greater things. Isn't that amazing that we could even do the things that God would have His Son do in this world and greater things? Amen. So all power to the King Himself. But today is a day of somewhat sadness and mourning. It's supposed to be a day of revival, but we know what He's gone through and what He went through, and so we will see the whole purpose for it as we proceed. But let us begin our worship. We worship. Today we will start off our worship with some mass choirs, two of my favorite mass choirs. This is We Worship You from the Detroit Mass Choir, and then we will hear worship. I Worship You from the Toronto Mass Choir, and then some more. Keep it locked. I'm Pastor Jay Grosner. God bless you.
With outstretched hand, my mouth full of praise, with words of thanks, I used to start each day. Lord, I know that I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me. You hung your head, you bled and died just to save a wretch like me. So I give my heart, you can use it as you please. And as long as I live, I'm gonna praise you. Oh, I'm gonna praise you. Never, never. My head bowed low, down on my knees, my heart stirred,
We pour it out.
Take control. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we come humbly to your throne of much grace and truly, truly, truly an amazing amount of mercy. Father, we just ask right now that you continue to remind us of this day, that it's not just a holiday. It's not a day for barbecue. It's not a day just to hang with family. It's not a day just to sleep in. It's not even a day just to put our feet up and watch a good movie on Netflix or whatever the case may be. But it's all about you, Father God. A sacrifice like no other. A sacrifice. They said it's an amazing thing for a man to lay down his life. Father, the way you did it was just beyond words, beyond comprehension. beyond this world, Father God, and only the wise God that we know, the only God, the most powerful God, would have a purpose for all that he does. Whether we understand or not, Father, we still know that we are the reason. And so, Father, we ask even right now for forgiveness for anything that we've ever done that may put shame to your name or allow you to just be disappointed in what we do or what we say or how we act or how we behave or how we treat others, Father God, or how we don't treat others, Father God. And Father, we ask right now, a forgiving God, that we could just say, please forgive us, Lord. Just like Jesus said on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. But right now, Father God, we ask a blessing upon each and every person who is within earshot, who should hear this word, or Father God, who isn't hearing the word and has a desire to hear the word. And Father God, especially those who refuse to hear the word of God, that Father God, you would penetrate their heart, unblock their ears, unstop their blind eyes, Father God, and allow them to see through it all that you are God and God all by yourself, the creator of heaven and earth and all things. And Father, that you are love and they are loved, and that they would change their ways, that they would allow you to be their God, Father. And Father, right now we continue this day for those who are hungry, who are not being fed spiritually, and for those who are not being fed with substance, Father God. Father, we ask that you meet their needs. We speak abundance to every food bank out there, Father God, and every place that has food to share, that it would go forth and multiply like the fishes and the loaves of bread, Father God. We speak a miracle day of abundance in Jesus' name. And Father God, bless those who are not well this day, who are mourning, who are grieving, who are sick, who are ill. And Father God, we ask right now that you bless our family, our friends, our neighbors. Bless my family, friends, and neighbors. And Father, if you so see it in your will to bless me, use me this day, Father God. Send a word. Send a miracle. Send your power now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you know?
did you know? My word. I've often thought of that. Would she have stopped him from doing what he knew he had to do? We already know that while she watched him suffer, being beaten, whipped, crowns of thorns dug into his head, we already know how painful it was for her to watch him pulling and dragging this very heavy cross, and to sit there and watch him nailed to this cross. I just can't even imagine. We as parents, we get upset when our children just fall down and scrape their knees. Could you imagine? Could you even begin to imagine? So, Mary, did she know? Was she obedient and willing to sacrifice the way God did? Could she love the world the way God did? I know I have kids and I I wouldn't sacrifice them for anything. I think more I would sacrifice myself to protect them from sacrificing. Amen. I think most parents would do that. My Lord. All right, let's look to the Word of God and hear what he has leading up to his message. Amen. I need you to find the amazing book of Isaiah. Phenomenal, phenomenal Isaiah. And we're going to read two parts today. Isaiah 6, and I'll be reading the entire chapter. And Isaiah 57, verses 10 to 15. And from the New Testaments, we'll be reading the book of John, John 3. I'll give you a minute or two, and then I will go in here and see what I can come up with. So we're going to take a look at Isaiah 6 first, and I'm reading from the King James Version. All right, and I shall begin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert to be healed. Said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted in without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. All right. We're also reading from Isaiah 57. And I'll be reading from verses 10 to 15. I don't want to read this version. I'm going to read the King James Version. Yes, 10 to 15. And I shall begin. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and has not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away, vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And our New Testament reading is from John 3. And I'm reading again from King James Version. All right. And I think I will try the entire, well, I'll read from 1 to 21, unless the Lord says otherwise, and I shall begin. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? My, my, my. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in this wilderness, Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here endeth the reading of the word of God for the people of God. May he add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and most certainly the doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
that again. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yeah.
I understand better now when I'm on my knees. Amen. Praise God. I had a moment of worship. Praise God. Amen. You know, today the message is entitled High and Lifted Up. I can truly tell you, when you understand that God Almighty, as one in person, as Jesus, are high and lifted up, you would really understand the true meaning of worship. I think we tend, as people in this world, in our secular world, and even in our Christian, churchly, godly world, and whatever faith there may be, we read today's scriptures about idols, and he said, they are nothing. They will blow away in the wind, stand for anything, and he will destroy every idol. But when you truly understand that he is deserving of being high and lifted up, you would really understand the magnitude of who God truly is. There'd be a level of respect. He said in the scripture today that we read that we hear, but we don't listen. Nicodemus had to ask him so many ways. And Jesus tried to explain and repeated in many different ways that the only way to get to the kingdom of God is to be born again. He said it several times in different manners, and Nicodemus just kind of said, well, but can you do this? Can you do that? No, there's only one way. And if you want to get to this kingdom, you have to understand that there's a route of traveling. In our scripture lesson today, we heard once again about planting of trees and seeds. I'm telling you, there's a theme that God has given this holy week. Tearing down. But then he talks again in the scripture at the very end, and he says, but I will build and prepare. And we know that when Jesus was first high and lifted up, it was on a cross. We know he is now. But then we also realize to be lifted up high and put on a cross, positive thing. I mean, come on, we already know that there were two other crosses beside him on this day of Good Friday. And one was a thief. And I think, who knows, maybe the other one was a murderer. But sometimes when we see people high and lifted up, it's not always a blessing, because, again, one was high and lifted up on a cross, and he did nothing but love the world, death, literally. The other two lived a life of just crime. Yet at this point in his life and at this point in the Word of God, we know that both of those two criminals were high and lifted up, looking down on the ones below. But it was not a position of stature, because what they did was, if you did wrong your crime, you know, they used to, back in the day, we heard about hangings and all kinds of ways that they would kill people in firing squads. And well, back in those times, you were put on a cross and hung to die. This was the first time that he was high and lifted up. And he didn't do anything, but he was still high and lifted up. And as he sat there and he looked down, yes, I'll say that, and he looked down, he did not have condemnation for the ones who had put him there, but proceeded to speak to his Father who is in heaven with seven words. The first was the most powerful. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is dying, he is pinned, he is hurting, he's in pain, unbearable, excruciating pain. And he's got a label over his head that was supposed to make fun of who he was. Yet they did not realize that it was a prophecy and they were really naming him who he truly was. So he had a title, but he looked down and people were looking at him. Some were looking at him and thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're doing this to my Lord. And yes, Mary was there too, devastated beyond words, no doubt. And probably would have climbed up there and found a way to get him down if she could save him, and probably would have put herself up there. And then there were those who were taunting him. We know the story of the soldiers who actually hung him on the cross, and the one particular soldier, when the time moved on throughout the day, started to realize that this truly was the Son of God. We always talk about being saved at the foot of the cross. He literally was saved at the foot of the cross. And we represent a God of forgiveness, so all you had to do was repent. He did it right at the foot of the cross. We read scripture today that indicates that you've been told, but you don't hear. You have seen and witnessed, but still don't understand or don't seem to get it or don't seem to even realize it is the truth, because we've been lied to so much and we lie so much. That when we hear the truth and see the truth, we still can't see clearly. And he talks about clearing the blocked ears and clearing the blind eyes so we can see the living truth. Amen. He is the living truth. He also had time to mention another word. And it says, today you will be with me in paradise. You have to remember, although he is high and lifted up on a cross, so are these criminals. Guess what? Jesus is at the same level in life, in stature, and in height, high and lifted up as these criminals. Because they too are high on a cross, being crucified for their sins, for their crimes. But the good thing is, the government may not have been able to appeal, or you get a call from the governor who would say, no, 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 we're not going to kill him. You don't get a reprieve. But Jesus let him know, the one who wanted to repent, and said, day you will be with me in paradise. Despite what he was going through at the time, he was thinking of everybody else below for forgiveness, the ones at the side, at the level of him, for forgiveness. The third word was, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. He wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of and wasn't alone. So he left one of his best friends, his disciple, to not only to care and hold on and look out and watch out for his mother, because where he was going, he would not be able to take her there, but she would still be able to get there one day. Amen. And so he basically created adoption right before him as he was dying, because he wanted to take care of things before he left. I'm in the legal profession, and we do wills and powers of attorneys and various things like that. And we sort of get all of our paperwork and everything together before we leave this world, because we want to make sure that when we go, whatever we have is taken care of by those who are left, and we can leave something for those who we love and who we cherish. And we want to make sure that if there's a debt or something, we can leave some funds to make sure that your family and estate are not being the ones to suffer for it. If you have a child, you tend to leave somebody in charge and responsible for that child to make sure that they are taken care of, because they can't raise themselves. In this particular case, you are never too big for your mama. Amen. And he knew his mother would grow old, and he wanted her to be looked after and taken care of. And he knew that his friend could do with a mother who would love him with all his heart and her heart, and cherish him and look out for him, because you are never too grown for your mom and dad. Amen. We already know in a sermon that I did some time ago in this last word that we knew that he was going to his dad, and so he wanted to leave someone for his mother. Amen. Then he gave a fourth word, and it says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I like to think that despite him taking care of everybody and looking down and making sure everyone was looked after, and the people below who were just horrendous were going to be forgiven, because he felt, well, they don't know what they're doing. So Father, please, already starting to intercede on our behalf. He continues to be high and lifted up and still looks down low upon us, sin, and still interceding on our behalf and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right now, he's probably doing it right this very minute. But have care of everybody down there, the people who have been horrible, the people on the cross beside him, his mother, his friend. I like to think that the pain set in where it was just so unbearable. And at that point, despite all of his heroics and him just trying to look out for everybody, at that moment he became weak and could not take the pain. And the only one who could remove that pain and his suffering would be no other than God Almighty. We know that when we are at our lowest point in life and when we are suffering, we don't always remember God. But at that time in our life, we will cry out, Abba, Abba, and hope that he will hear us and deliver us from our suffering. And while he was trying to call on his father, because he knew God was always around. And the minute we feel that God is not present, we have no choice but to cry out. We cry out because we want to know, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? I don't feel you. I don't sense you. I need you. And then he said, I thirst. Again, another need, because he was slowly slipping away. Dying and lying in their deathbed, the one thing we seem to always do for them is to just continue. They cannot eat. They tend not to be feeding properly. They're being fed through tubes. But we know that there's always a quenching thirst. And we hold their heads and we pour in a little bit of water, or we give them some ice. Because we know that you still need something to keep surviving. But when God said, I will bring forth living water, rivers of living water, you shall quench no more. And I mentioned last week that he gave himself up. When he knew the time was right, and I like to believe at that point, we see it all the time when people are passing. They'll either brighten up, or they see something, or there's a glow, or there's something or a reaction on their face. Some people will even tell you what they see. Usually it's a light, a bright light. Jesus is the light, the light of the world. Nothing glows brighter than the light of the Lamb. Amen. And so we know that some people will say they see people they know who have gone to the other side, because they like to say that they have come to get them. And at that moment, when you see it, they always say, don't go to the light. Jesus knew that every single thing he had to accomplish to do was done. And I like to think, even though he thought his father forsake him, and he ended up in the pits of hell, and yes, God is not there, we know that the Lord God Almighty snatched him out of hell. Amen. And when he saw his father, he knew it was time to go home, and said, it is finished. And then he declared where he would be going and said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. What do you need to do to get to this kingdom of God? He said it so many times. To be born again. It's a reservation that you need to know, a reservation that you need to have. I just want to take one last look at this, because we think of a pedestal where we put things up on display, high and lifted up. Much like when Jesus was on a cross high and lifted up, and the criminals were high and lifted up, it was not on a good note. But where he's gone, at the right hand of his Father, sitting on a throne, my word, he truly is now high and lifted up. People who are high and lofty. And that's always not a good thing. We put people on pedestal, and sometimes they're not good people, but we still look up to them. There are people who believe that they are high and lifted up, and they are on a pedestal, and they look down on many people. And it's not always a good thing. But what I think is important is if you're going to be high and lifted up, then you have to do the right thing to take care of God's people. Amen. So I'm going to end this with our scripture again, Isaiah 57:10-15. But I'm going to read from the New Testament or the New International Version, sorry. Because I want you to understand these words clearly. And it says, you wearied yourself for such going about, but you would not say it is hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint. Thank you, Jesus. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you have not been true to me and have neither remembered me nor taken this to heart? Is it not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? My word. I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. And it will be said, build up. Build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. It's right there. He has gone, and he is high and truly lifted up. He said, where he goes, he has gone to prepare a place, that where he is, you shall go also. But much like Nicodemus, do you have questions on how to get to the kingdom of God? Remember, he said it himself, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we'll end it with this scripture that we all know, The very, very first scripture I ever learned as a 7-year-old child in Sunday school. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him again should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's high and lifted up. Much like some who we know and love. Because they have earned their position in the kingdom of God. And they too now are up there, high and lifted up, down. While he continues to intercede and looks down and always declaring on your behalf. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Do you know what you do? Do you know what you're supposed to do? He said, you got weary, but you never said it was hopeless. And you fainted not. I believe that there's a beautiful scripture that says quite the similar. At the end of your days, when he comes and he sees you, let him be able to say, well done, thy faithful servant.
What does the cross of Jesus? More than songs we sing, much more than that emblem of your chain. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sin remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died, the Lamb was crucified, showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, what love divine. True love you never so that we might live. Love came and died alone. Hallelujah. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord for me, just everybody say,
just for me.
Yes, Lord. Came and did just for me. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Just for me. Died on Calvary. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, Jesus came. Did us. We're ever grateful, ever grateful. Say now, just for me. Died on Calvary. Hung you upon the tree. Oh yes, baby.
Jesus came.
Did it just for me. Oh, just for me. Buried you in the grave, yes. But you
amen. How do you get into the kingdom of God? You must be born again. And you know, it's ironic because you have to come to him like a child. And what's more important is when you're young is when you learn your ABCs. And to be born again, we have a new ABC. It's admit, believe, and confess. All you have to do is admit that you are a sinner and have made mistakes. It's okay. We all have. I still do. Far from perfect. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. Then you have to believe that Jesus is God's son and that he died on the cross for you this very day on Good Friday and rose up from the grave on the third day, which will be coming on Sunday. Amen. And then you have to confess. Confess Jesus as the Lord of your life and commit yourself to a life of following Jesus and serving him while serving others. A, B, C. What do you have to do to get into the kingdom of God? To know your ABCs. Praise God. Because verily, verily, he said unto us that no man can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And you can still talk to him. He's always with you, will never leave you, nor forsake you, because he remains and always is until that day that he shall return high and lifted up. And he's looking down and interceding on your behalf always to his Father who is in heaven. We conclude our message for the day. We hope your Good Friday is a blessed one. Be a blessing to many around you today and let them see the light of Jesus shine through you and glow. Don't hide it under a bushel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, and to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen, amen, and amen. Jesus loves you, and so do I.